Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hey, we made it to Friday. I have a question for you. In your wildest imagination, did you think you would be in as great a mood this Friday as you were last Friday? I did not. As of Monday, I just have to be honest with you. I did not. I was kind of dreading the way this week might turn out. I felt cautiously optimistic Trump had a chance, but I really worried that they would figure out some way to steal it.
Yeah,
and they didn't.
I felt the same way. I think it's almost like you're scared to say it because you don't want to say it. I don't know. I felt like Trump was going to win, but certainly not to the degree that he did.
Oh, I know. It is a complete rebuttal to every argument the Democrats made. So Kim and I obviously arrived downtown about the same time each morning. We listened to the Gordon Deal show, and they got this Rick Newman character on from the Wall.
Yahoo Finance.
Yahoo Finance. Yeah. And all through the election, we would make comments to each other. Can you believe how biased this guy is? Like, he would call in, and his story seemed to be making arguments in favor of Kamala Harris. Well, she would do this or she would do that, or Trump's been extreme on this or extreme on that. And Kim and I would text each other back and forth via talk to text as we're driving in, just to be clear, and comment on it. And today, it's like a flip switch, a switch flipped in Rick Newman's brain. And his comments to Gordon Deal were, well, you know, it appears that voters saw that Joe Biden's border policy, even though he changed it 6 months ago, was really not good for America because all these people were streaming across the border. And I'm thinking, where in the hell have you been for 3.5 years? Why are you just now on the radio talking about that? Like, you just found out that Biden's border policy was insane. Why didn't you say that 3 years ago?
I have a feeling that a lot of these people who were just, you know, devout followers of Kamala Harris and any sort of policy that Joe Biden put in place, I feel like they knew that it wasn't working. I feel like they knew it was a losing strategy for her campaign, and they were just holding on to any shred of hope that they possibly could. And they don't want to say it out loud because then that discounts, I guess, what she stood for. So I actually think that more people saw what we saw earlier. They just didn't want to admit it.
Well, I think you're absolutely right. What it does is that the emperor has no clothes. We know all along that they knew exactly what we were talking about. They just had no intention of saying anything that might hurt her chances of getting elected, or Joe Biden's chances of getting elected, for that matter. The whole world is seeing this guy wander around on stage, has no idea where he is. He's clearly confused. I mean, God knows how long it's been since we've actually had a president, because he's clearly not in charge except for brief periods of time when they can, you know, put enough Adderall in his body to allow him to focus for 15 minutes for a speech yesterday. And we've been saying all along, there's something wrong with this guy. Oh, he's fine. Joe Biden's at his best right now. Remember them saying that? And they knew.
Kamala was still saying that, by the way.
They knew it all along. Oh, my goodness. I mean, honestly, if you're not really enjoying this, and by the way, there's some more breaking news this morning. The Senate race in Arizona is not over by a long shot. I don't know if I'm going to say something that could be rather controversial. If the elections officials in Arizona are just like special, like did they go to special classes when they were in school? Because they've got 700,000 votes that they still haven't counted. It's Friday. Why do we allow that to happen in America? You know, I heard Laura Trump say yesterday, maybe we need to do something federally to streamline this process a little bit. Arizona is the shining example of that.
That's what I said, by the way, not to credit myself, but I said that we need, you know, I'm not about the whole federal mandate. You know,
no,
you have
you
to do it this way.
Out. I know.
I don't have a problem necessarily with it with local elections. If states want to, you know, run their elections a certain way, fine. When it comes to a federal election, I think this is ridiculous. And we've proven time and again now with multiple election cycles, it's not working. So, I mean, clearly Arizona has some problems counting.
In Maricopa County, once again, which is where part of the problem was in 2020 and 2022 when she ran for governor down there for Carrie Lake. Why is it taking so long to count the votes? I'll get back to more on this Maricopa County story because it's fascinating. Wait till you hear what the results were. So they slowly released like 72,000 votes yesterday for whatever reason. I don't know why it's taken them so long. She won 57% of the votes out of those and trimmed his lead by a full percentage point. So she's within 60 or 70,000 votes of him right now. Maybe it's less than that. I'll get to the story for you. I want you to hear it because that could be another shocker if that thing ends up going to Carrie Lake in Arizona. So that's all coming up. Hey, great show for you. Eben Brown on who the president might be looking at to fill out his cabinet, the president-elect, I should say. We'll get to him coming up in the 6 o'clock hour. Our buddy Jim Carafano is going to join us. Lots of debate. Like, what happens with Ukraine funding now? What happens with what's going on in the Middle East? Major differences, major changes. We're going to talk to Jim about that coming up in the 7 o'clock hour. And we have United States Senator Josh Hawley, who just got reelected, on the show in the 8 o'clock hour today. So be sure and stay tuned for that. Looking forward to it. All right, Carl, let's get to our top stories.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
I know it's a difficult time. You're hurting. I hear you and I see you. But don't forget. Don't forget all that we accomplished. It's been a historic presidency.
It's like he's trying to convince himself. See that smile on his face like a Cheshire cat yesterday? It's like when the guy that just cut you off in traffic gets T-boned at the next intersection by a garbage truck.
As of today, American citizens who do want to hold on to democracy, we know exactly what we're going to be spending the next days and weeks and likely years of our life working on.
Rachel Maddow lost her mind again. She wasn't crying this time, but she was definitely calling on her fellow lefties to take to the streets against Donald Trump.
So you little Trumpets, like, y'all won. I know you're happy, whatever the f***. Ain't nobody acting like bitter losers. However, y'all need to leave me the f*** alone.
I don't know how many people in my listening audience would have actually ever listened to a song by that human being. Her name is Cardi B, and apparently she's getting a little bit of grief on social media for endorsing Kamala Harris.
Okay, so since Trump won the election, we're cooked, yup! I'm going to be leaving the U.S., and I'm going to be moving to Hawaii.
The comments on that thread were unbelievable.
Oh, that's embarrassing.
Starting with, who gets to be the first one to tell him? wait. Please allow him to move, sign a lease on a hugely overpriced apartment somewhere in Hawaii, and then break the news to him that Donald J. Trump is still his president. What an idiot. These people are brainless.
I'm thinking of, of course, I have to bring this back to Friends, the Friends episode where Monica's saying that Joey's freaking out and that he's talking about moving to Vermont. And Ross says why. And Monica says he says he wants to leave the country. Do you people realize this? Do we need to go back and do some sort of a geography lesson? I mean, I've told you that I'm brushing up on my U.S. history, but come on.
Yeah.
You don't know that?
Yeah. The reactions that have been coming in are priceless. We all owe a great debt of honor. I don't know if the girl that created Libs of TikTok is making money off of it. I hope that she is. I hope that she's monetized that and she's now worth $1 million. I just have to tell you that. That's my hope for her, because we owe her a great debt of gratitude. Because you, if you're not on TikTok, which I'm not, might never have the opportunity to stumble across some of the morons that share this country with you. Honestly, I'm not talking about your run-of-the-mill lib who you can have a conversation with occasionally and not want to strangle. I'm not talking about that individual. I'm talking about the ones that are mentally ill. Listen to this mom who recorded herself breaking the news to her children that Kamala Harris lost. Now, bear in mind, she's the one that scared the living hell out of them about Donald Trump to begin with. Now she's got to break the news to them that Donald Trump will be their next president.
Harris did not win.
You won.
Trump. So, I'm...
Take a breath.
Yep. So, today may look a little different at school.
The kids are hyperventilating in the background. And at one point, she says, "Now, you have my permission to go to the principal if you have big feelings about this during the day."
Well, they're going to confirm the feelings, right? Anything that you're feeling is justified.
Well, but she's the one that scared the bejesus out of him to begin with.
Do you think that some of these videos are staged? I've seen a lot of crazy videos. There was one girl who was shaving her head yesterday. She's like, "Screw the patriarchy. Screw Donald Trump." And she's just cutting off her hair. "I'm not wearing makeup anymore."
I'm not. So in other words, to make herself less attractive to men.
To screw all you men over, yeah.
As if your attitude in general wouldn't make you less attractive
to men.
She says,
"Women, break up with your boyfriends. Wives, divorce your husbands." That was her really nice, loving message. The message, I felt the joy as I watched her buzzing her head.
I've got several of those to play for you throughout the course of the morning. We'll get to all that for you coming up. And I'm going to read you this story out of Arizona as well on this Kerry Lake race, because the numbers down there are really, really interesting, because Trump won bigly in Arizona. And you have to wonder how Kerry Lake didn't benefit from that, since she's very pro-Trump. And now they're slow walking the results in Maricopa County again. So all that coming up, Carl. Let's get to the fray on this Friday.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
So as you can see, we know their playbook. We know Project 2025. Before it was even published. And we have been working both in my office and with other Democratic AGs across this country to make sure that we would be ready to respond to any attempt to roll back our rights.
If there is a liberal in America that is more deserving of, I don't know, a throat punch or a face slap that I can think of, who's more obnoxious than Letitia James up in New York, please point them out to me. Honestly. I mean, James Carville doesn't rise to that level, in my opinion. Since she ran for office, promising to go after, to create reasons to persecute the Trump family, and actually got elected for that, She's been nonstop in Donald Trump's face, trying to find excuses to charge that family or prosecute them somehow. It's obnoxious. You're not supposed to do that if you're a prosecutor. You don't find me the subject and I'll find you the crime. I mean, that's Lenin-esque type stuff, right? I mean, seriously. And yesterday, Donald Trump's attorney, the guy that's represented him a lot, Mike Davis, was on a podcast, and they asked him about Letitia James' comments. And I just about fell out of my chair when I heard his response. Go to cut four, Carl, please.
Let me just say this to Big Tish James, the New York Attorney General. I dare you to try to continue your lawfare against President Trump and his second term. Because listen here, sweetheart, we're not messing around this time. And we will put your fat ass in prison for conspiracy against rights. And I promise you that. So think long and hard before you want to violate President Trump's constitutional rights or any other American's constitutional rights. It's not going to happen again.
We've been warning people on the show, Mike. This isn't the same Trump administration. Stop messing around. Don't rig elections. Don't illegally vote. Don't try the funny business, because we know the team this time and they are not effing around.
Yeah, that was, again, Mike Davis. I thought to myself, this can't be real. And then I thought, wow, I like that attitude, because they used lawfare to persecute and prosecute and harass Donald Trump. They tried to lock him up to keep him from being able to run again. Secretaries of state in Colorado, and where was the other place? Was it Maine or somewhere? Tried to kick him off the ballot so he couldn't even be on the ballot in those states. Anything they could do to prevent him from getting elected again. And guess what? Daddy's back. And you might just find yourself find out what it's like to have yourself in the crosshairs of the Department of Justice for what you've done, because Joe Biden didn't care. He encouraged the fact that his DOJ was harassing his political opponent. He encouraged it. And I don't want us to act like Democrats, but somebody's got to have the power to restrain people like Letitia James. It's insane what's gone on in this country with the lawfare. And that was a refreshing point of view there. He may take some grief for it, but I just have to tell you, at least he waited till after the election to say it. Thank you, Mike Davis. Back with Kim on a Whim after this.
Kim on a Whim.
Rideshare driver Lizbeth Lopez loves being behind the wheel.
I love driving around. I love getting to meet new people. I love talking to everyone.
She even becomes a bit of a tour guide, welcoming visitors to her home state of Massachusetts.
I definitely recommend the North End.
But those trips are also her livelihood.
All I want is to provide my kid.
Lopez says driving for Uber isn't putting money in her pocket like it used to.
That definitely affected the way we live. We used to be able to afford basic needs. It's getting harder and harder.
Well, here's my thought. Working as a Lyft driver, working as an Uber driver, in my opinion, is not designed to be your only source of income.
It's part-time.
You could essentially make it full-time because you can pick your hours, right? So I have heard people where they will work close to 40 hours a week and they're driving around nonstop, or they're driving during peak hours to try to make a certain amount of income. But I just don't think that's designed to be your career. Just like I don't think that flipping burgers at McDonald's, while nothing is wrong with that, that's just not designed to be your career. So when people want $20 an hour to do that, I'm very irritated about that. Well, Massachusetts voters approved what was called ballot 3 on their ballots, question number 3. They just approved that, and basically it's giving these drivers for Lyft and Uber the right to unionize. This already passed back in this was Seattle. I don't know if it was a statewide thing or just specifically as it relates to Seattle, but that was back in 2015. So now Massachusetts has done this.
You know who pushed that, don't you? The cab companies. It probably wasn't the Uber drivers. It was probably the cab companies. The whole appeal of Uber and Lyft to begin with was it was cheaper than taking a cab, right? And you could, because for the longest time, the cab companies didn't want Uber to be able to go to the airport and pick up rides.
Now, I don't know,
because it was cheating the cab companies from those fares.
I don't think it's because it's cheaper. Maybe that's a factor in it. I think why Lyft and Uber became more popular it's more convenient. You don't have to go call a number and arrange a time for the cab to come pick you up. You're entering it in on an app, and not only that, you can track exactly where they are, and you can see if they're delayed, and you can change it or cancel it. It's a lot easier. It kind of streamlined the process. So maybe there was a little difference in cost, but I don't think that's the main reason why Lyft and Uber became so popular so quickly.
I think originally it was a price issue. It was more convenient. But once you crawled into a cab, you were at the mercy of the clock, because the price you paid could change depending on how much traffic you hit from point A to point B. And with Uber, they told you the price up front. I really think it was a cost issue at first as much as convenience. Pretty soon, it's going to be just as expensive as or more expensive than a cab, which will make the cabbies very happy.
Well, I mean, that's a good point. I guess I haven't taken a cab in forever, and I feel like if I've had to take a cab, I feel like I'd be back in the Stone Ages, having to look up a number to even call. In fact, when I see a cab driving, it's like, oh, wow.
But St. Louis isn't like other cities. Like, you couldn't stand out here on the street corner and wait for a cab to drive by to flag it down.
Right.
You'd have to call them, because there just aren't enough of them.
Right, unlike New York, where that's very common. Right. And I wonder, actually, what the breakdown is in New York, when you think about like Lyft and Uber drivers compared to taxi drivers, because I think people still like the ability to walk out of, say, work and put their hand up in the air and a driver stops. Now, what's interesting about this whole situation in Massachusetts is it's saying that in order to unionize, they're saying that active drivers, which they define as anyone who's completed 100 or more trips in the past quarter, they could participate in this unionization process. And here's how it would go down. It says if 5% of those active drivers support the formation of a union, then essentially they would release a list of all the drivers for the apps so that people could start collecting information and go trying to get them to sign this petition to say, yeah, we want to become a union. And then if 25% of those people say they want to start a union, it will form. So nothing is set in place yet, but they're setting the stage for it, right?
It's
they're
insane.
giving them the option. I don't know. I think I just feel like people expect, so it's this whole mindset of like, what can you do for me, right? It's not what can I do for you, how can I serve this, how can I serve? And I understand, like, we all go to work, right, because we want to get paid. Now, fortunately, I love what I do, but I know a lot of people who are like, I don't love what I do. In fact, some people hate what they do, and it's simply a paycheck, right? They need to support their family. But I just feel like we've gotten into this mindset of like, you owe me all of this stuff. So you owe me all these sick days. You owe me paid sick days. You owe me all of these vacation days. You owe me $20 an hour to, again, I go back to flipping hamburgers.
Yeah, it is a mindset. You're right. If Uber decides to do that, here's what's going to happen. The next entrepreneur will start a competing business that's not unionized that will undercut what they're having to pay now for an Uber anywhere in that state, because the prices are going to be outrageous. They already do this dynamic pricing, which is, I mean, I guess smart on their part. If demand is up, they get paid more. But it's just going to drive the price up. That's all it's going to do. And somebody will say, well, it's raising the standard of living. Well, whatever. If you're already paying, as Joe on Morning Joe found out the other day, the butter's $7 a tub. If you're already paying more for everything else, it just causes your cost of living to go up. Mm-hmm. And you have less money to do other things with.
I wonder how much, if you drive Uber or Lyft, I'd be curious for you to comment wherever you're watching and tell me how much you can make. I bet it's more than I think, but I just don't think it's not consistent. I think that would be very hard, is that it's not, you can't count on a certain paycheck because you don't know what kind of ride you're
going
to get. Yeah, I mean, unless you're willing to drive weird hours, say from the bars when there's going to be, or from an event when you can surge prices. And I don't even know how that works anymore. I know they used to do that. You know, they really jack it up like what, three times or something like that. And people were willing to pay it. Right. It says, there's this article that I'm reading says the passage of this law comes on the heels of a big settlement that went into effect in August after the state sued Uber and Lyft over the treatment of its workers. The companies agreed to a minimum wage of $32.50 for ride hailing drivers and other benefits like earned sick pay. Until that's I read this article, insane. I had no idea that that was a $32.50 for minimum. What?
I don't. And how can there be a minimum wage? Uber? You're not an employee of Uber. You're like an independent contractor.
You are an independent contractor.
I thought you just got a percentage of whatever the ride costs.
Which is why the federal law doesn't apply to these drivers because they are considered independent contractors, yeah. right? So it's not like there's some federal protection for them to be like, yes, you can unionize, which is why Massachusetts had to pass this. How many other states are going to do this?
This is what happens when big government gets involved.
Could Missouri do this?
This is what happens. I don't know. Missouri would have no interest in doing
it. No, Mark, don't say that. Because you know what? You would think that Missouri would have no interest in passing an abortion amendment that allows abortion through all 9 months. You would think that Missouri wouldn't be interested in passing an amendment that allows for minimum wage to hike up and therefore raise our prices. You would think all of these things, and yet here we are. On Tuesday, that's exactly what we did.
Yeah,
we
did
top to the bottom of the ticket, Republican leaders, right?
I don't disagree, but that was a statewide initiative petition that got enough signatures and got on the ballot. I don't think people would vote to make their rides cost more in the state of Missouri.
But this is what you have to remember.
But people, the legislature realize, did this,
people
not the
don't
IP.
Realize that. That's the problem, is they're allowed to write the way they phrase these things is so deceptive, and you would never talk about that, and that the ballot language wouldn't include, you know, oh, if you so say yes on this, your price is going to likely increase by blah blah blah, because that would possibly get a no, so they're going to make sure that's hidden.
We'll see. Anything can happen. After Amendment 3 passed and Donald Trump overwhelmingly got elected, I would agree with that. There are people out there who just walk around in a constant state of conflict in their brain. I don't know how you can support both, but there clearly are a lot of people that do. And I don't know who those people are. I really don't. All right, coming up, I'm going to get back to this Arizona story. Interesting. The Republicans could pick up a 54th Senate seat in the state of Arizona. It's not clear yet, but the race is far from over. They're still counting ballots out in Arizona. We'll get to that coming up. All right, welcome back. You know, I'm watching the TV screens here. We have in the monitors in the studio. And I was a little surprised this year at the slow reaction by the networks to declare certain states. I mean, normally once one declared a winner, then they all fell like dominoes. And there was a real slow walk of that this year. Now, number one, I know why. Because nobody wanted to be the first one to announce that Donald Trump had been reelected. We get that. We're not surprised by that, right? But it took CBS News until this morning to declare that Donald Trump had won Nevada. This morning, The Hill had it. By the time this show was on the air yesterday morning, they had Arizona and Nevada in Donald Trump's category. It wasn't until this morning that CBS decided it could declare that race. So you can't look at those things in a vacuum. And somebody's got to revamp the way they do that. I just think there's no doubt about that. Now, back to this Kari Lake race in Arizona. Ruben Gallego is the Democratic congressman that ran against Kari Lake down there. The amazing thing is that Donald Trump won bigly in Arizona. He raked in 128,000 more votes in Arizona than she did. He was declared the winner, the clear winner in Arizona. She, however, is now behind Ruben Gallego, but by a smaller amount than she was before. And there are 700,000 votes they still have to count in across the state, and 400,000, almost 500,000 in Maricopa County, which is the biggest county. What's wrong with these people?
Yeah, I don't know why they cannot figure things out when every other state pretty much has.
Florida is much bigger than Arizona and had all of its results in Tuesday night.
Mm-hmm.
What is going on here? Something seriously broken in the state of Arizona. Here's the good news, though. Ruben Gallego's lead over his opponent shrunk to Thursday as more results slowly trickled in. Maricopa County, which is the most populated county in Arizona, it released more results about 7 o'clock last night. Gallego, a Democrat, led Lake by only 1.7 percentage points and 43,600 votes, down from 52,000 votes after they were tallied Wednesday. So she gained almost 10,000 votes out of the 70,000 that they released yesterday, right? And they're very hopeful that as the rest of these votes come in, if it breaks in the same percentage toward Lake, that she'll win this Senate seat down here. Here's the deal. The votes that they released from Maricopa County broke 57% toward Lake compared to 41% of the votes to Gallego, which is how she gained 10,000 votes out of the 72,000 additional ballots that they counted. There are still 470,000 to go, and she's only down 40,000 votes. Think about, do the math there. If it breaks the same way in the remaining 400,000 votes, Carrie Lake wins. So that would be huge. And the Democrats have already concluded that they're going to hold up. Well, they wouldn't really be holding on to it, right? Because they're replacing Kristen Sinema, who switched to independent. So they would actually gain a D seat there, even though she caucused with the Democrats. But I cannot look at that and not wonder why we allow that as a country, for one state to be so slow in getting its results in. How can there be 700,000 ballots in that state that haven't been counted yet?
And what's sad is they had 4 years to figure this out because it was a disaster 4 years ago, and yet they clearly have learned nothing.
Same problem.
Yeah,
Democrat governor, Democrat secretary of state, and they had no intention of fixing the problem because they assumed a Democrat would win there again this time around. Hey, coming up, Eben Brown is going to join us. He is looking at some of the cabinet possibilities for Donald Trump. We'll kick that around with him at about 6:20. In other news at 6:45, JJ Carafano at 7:20. We'll be back.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.